Welcome to the Sweet Sila Moments podcast. Today's episode launches a brand new season. In season 12, we will continue with the theme, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus. But now we will be connecting them to the fruits of the Spirit. Super fun. You won't want to miss this season. We also have a brand new podcast host joining us. I am so excited for you all to meet Jen Rogers and get to know her heart for truth and her big love for God. Jen is first a dear friend of both Sharon and I's, plus a published author, my D group leader, and a Sunday school teacher to 3 out of my 4 kiddos so far. Jen, what did I miss? This is pretty much just how you have impacted my life, so tell us a little bit more about you.
Wow, well, thanks for having me. First and foremost, I'm super excited to share all that God has been showing me and geek out over the Bible with you. I've been following Jesus for about 15 years, and I just am so thankful for everything that he's done for me that I just want everyone else to experience him too.
I love that. Amen. Jen, this is Sharon welcoming you. I am so thankful you're here. I think you are going to add another dimension to the thinking and talking because of your bright mind. I mean, not that Nicole and I don't have bright minds, but you have a different kind of bright mind. And I think the three of us together, well, Lord, you do what you want to do with us. So today we're starting with a story that I chose for the fruit of the Spirit, love. And it's kind of an interesting choice, but I think it's important that we know that God loves us even when we don't get what he's doing. And in this story of Lazarus, who was not healed right away but had to die first, we get a glimpse of God's love, but also the fact that he is no puppet of ours. He is God himself, and he does things his way. But I kind of want to start with Galatians 5, which is where we're introduced to the fruit of the Spirit, because that's what we're going to be kind of honing in each of these stories. So I'm going to read Galatians 5, 16 to 18, and then skip down to 22 to 23. Paul says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you're not under obligation to the law of Moses. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things." Such a happy, happy thought that when we yield to him, these things flow out of us, which they certainly don't in my life without his help, let us just say. So we're going to now dive into the scripture for the day. And it's actually, I think, the longest scripture we're going to have in all our episodes. And so we're going to break it into 3 parts. And this will also help our listeners identify our 3 voices. Because I don't know about you guys, but sometimes when I'm listening to a podcast, I'm like, so which one person is talking? So I'm going to introduce Jen first. And Jen is going to read John 11, verses 1 through 15. And then I'll introduce Nicole and then me. And hopefully y'all will figure out our voices by doing that. So go for it, Jen.
Okay. A man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters, Mary and Martha. This is the Mary who later poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was sick. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, "Lord, your very dear friend is very sick." But when Jesus heard about it, he said, "Lazarus's sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this." So although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. Finally, he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." But the disciples objected. "Rabbi," they said, "only a few days ago, the people in Judea were trying to stone you. Are you going there again?" Jesus replied, "There are 12 hours of daylight every day. During the day, people can walk safely. they see, they can see because they have the light of this world. But at night, there is danger of stumbling because they have no light. Then he said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will go and wake him up. The disciples said, Lord, if he is sleeping, he will soon get better. They thought Jesus meant Lazarus was simply sleeping, but Jesus meant Lazarus had died. So he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there. For now you will really believe. Come, let's go see him.
Thanks, Jen. Nicole, you're up next, verses 16 through 30.
Right. Thomas, nicknamed the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let's go too and die with Jesus. When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. Yes, Martha said, he will rise when everyone else rises, at the last day. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. And everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never ever die. Do you believe this, Martha? Yes, Lord, she told him. I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God. Then she turned to Mary. She called Mary aside from the mourners and told her, the teacher is here and wants to see you. So Mary immediately went to him. Jesus had stayed outside the village at the place where Martha met him.
Excellent. And this is Sharon reading verses 31 to 44, the last part. When the people who were at the house consoling Mary saw her leave so hastily, they assumed she was going to Lazarus's grave to weep, so they followed her there. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. Where have you put him? He asked them. They told him, Lord, come and see. Then Jesus wept. The people who were standing nearby said, see how much he loved him? But some said, this man healed a blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying? Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb, a cave, with a stone rolled across its entrance. Roll the stone aside, Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested. Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible. Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here so that they will believe you sent me. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. Can you imagine? You guys, this story has so much good stuff in it and so much humanity in it, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. We're going to go back to Jen's section to start with. And Jen, would you just sort of tell us what you thought as you studied this section? What did you like? What didn't you like? What are you thinking about it?
Well, what I was thinking about is how Jesus is always talking over everyone else's heads. Everyone else is down here on earth speaking in human terms while Jesus is floating above somewhere speaking in heavenly terms. We like to think we can understand God's ways, but this is case in point that his ways are higher than our ways. He had bigger plans than simply saving his friend, bigger than the here and now. He wanted the world to see and to believe.
He did. He did. He had a plan beyond that. That was his goal. He says, and for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there, for now you really believe. Mm. So why do you think they needed that strong a sign? Like someone who's been dead 4 days getting up. Why now?
Well, we're pretty dumb.
That is true.
But this is so true.
This was the week before he was supposed to die too, right?
Yes.
So I think he needed to really show everyone, oh, I can do this too. Because even later they said, well, you can heal the sick. If you had been here, he wouldn't have died. They still couldn't imagine that he could raise anyone yet because he hadn't. So they just thought he could do only the tricks he'd shown them.
Exactly so. That's what I was thinking. I'm like, they are about to see Jesus dead, right? And not that the lesson clicked because they were pretty depressed.
Surprise.
But the lesson was there. I can even raise the dead.
And we're like toddlers. I mean, we need a lot of repetition. Mm-hmm.
This is so true. And do you remember two where you're like, I have said this 10,000 times and my 2-year-old is still not listening to me. Mm-hmm. Will they ever learn? Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was interested too in the 12 hours of daylight. He says, the 12 hours of daylight is almost over. And I don't know, but I think he was saying, my time here of walking among you is almost over. You know, I don't have to worry about going back now because there's another week. But then you're going to need to know this stuff when the darkness comes. So those are just my thoughts too, but very cool. So Nicole, we're moving on here. He gets to Bethany. The disciples are like, I guess we're going to Bethany after you said we weren't. This is all so strange. Toddlers not understanding. What did we learn of in this next section?
So I was thinking about love and where I see love in this part. And I just see so much love in the way he responds to, first, the way he approaches Martha and is so gentle with her. Because he knows that she's sad because her brother died. But also the way that he was giving her immediate comfort, like your brother will rise again now. But he's also providing future comfort too and talking about everyone will rise again and I'm here, I'm the Messiah. So I thought that was kind of neat that he gave something for today and then something to hold on to as well. Kind of like you said, that high level view of everything that we don't always understand.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And I liked that she still went to him. Mary did not go. We'll talk about her next. And what I love about that is our human instinct is if you ask for something and God doesn't give it to you, you're a little ticked off, especially if it's a good something. That Jesus' best friend wouldn't die appeared good to Martha, I'm sure, right? So so often we're bruised when God doesn't answer the way we want, and yet Martha did the right thing. Jesus is still Jesus, whether Lazarus lives or dies. Right. Jesus is still Jesus, whether Sharon Gamble gets, you know, what she wants or not. He has not changed, and he's the only place to go. And she went right to him, and I just love and admire that she did that.
Yeah, Martha sometimes gets a bad rap.
She does get a bad rap, and right here, she's like, I believe you're a Messiah. So I was very proud of Martha.
It kind of shows Martha's always been a little more, I don't know, responsible and more of the thoughtful one, whereas Mary's the more emotional one.
Yeah. Right, exactly. I think Mary was devastated by it.
Well, looking, she's probably feeling all the feels and being sad back home, but then for her to come when she said, hey, the teacher's looking for you, go to him. She did go immediately, but she didn't go right away because she was just overwhelmed probably.
I think she was
feelings.
Overwhelmed and sad and hurt.
Probably disappointed, thinking if he was here, he wouldn't have died. You know what I mean?
Right.
Kind of
right.
Disillusioned for a minute.
We're supposed to be friends.
Right.
Yes. Which is why I giggle when people think that you accept Christ and then you're just going to float through life with nothing going wrong. Have we not read the Bible? He allows a lot of hard things.
Yeah.
He does. But he walks with us through them. And we're going to have a lot of hard things whether we go to Jesus or not. Do we want to go through it with him or without him? Those are kind of our choices.
Because, I'll take with.
Yes.
Yes.
Any day. Thank you.
Yeah. So, okay. So the first, I created 4 points because speakers do that, right? So I have 4 points in my section. First of all, I love that when Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she spilled out her upsetness right away. Lord, if only you'd been here, my brother would not have died. That's just a fact. So the first thing I learn is you go to God with your hurt, and you might as well tell him what you're thinking, because he knows it anyways, right? So she went with the hurt. Number two, the fact that Jesus saw the weeping and had anger. It's interesting because the King James Version never said it as strongly, but when you go down into the root word, he was troubled, he was angry. There was huge emotion in him, which is so fascinating to me. God hates death too. Right? Death is the final enemy. And, you know, the what is that verse in Genesis-ish where it says that, you know, he's going to strike his heel, but then in the end, God's going to crush the head. He hates death. It's not what he made us for. We kind of asked for it in the way we disobeyed him. But anyway, so I kind of liked that. And then number three, he wept. He knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. That was the whole point. He'd already announced it to the disciples.
Oh, that's so fascinating.
And when I'm upset about something, Jesus knows how it's going to weave together for good, right? I don't. In fact, I'm convinced there will never be good from this, right? If it's a bad thing, like losing 8 grandbabies before they were born, praying like crazy my daughters would not have miscarriages 8 times. I was not a happy camper about this, right? But what he has shown me is that when he allows things that make no sense and I'm crying, he doesn't just sit back and go, but you'll understand someday. He cries with me. He cries with me because it hurts him when I'm hurt. He wept with them knowing Lazarus was going to walk out of that grave because right then they were sad. Isn't that the most beautiful thing? I love Jesus.
All right. So nice.
Last one, number four. He says it again, so that they will believe you sent me. His desire was not just to do miracles to show off. It's always with a purpose. He wants them to believe that God sent him and he truly is God in flesh. So those are mine. Anything that I didn't say that I should have said or...
I don't know, but I love that he not only was talking to them, but he put it in his word forever for all of us.
Yes.
So that we can believe too.
Yes, that is so true. This was a recorded thing. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke didn't do it, right? I think it only appears in John.
I'm pretty sure. I think that might be right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
So John's read the, we think John was the last writer. So he's read the three synoptic gospels that kind of march in step a little more. He's like, what? We have got to tell the Lazarus story.
I'm surprised they wouldn't put that in. It's so exciting, like someone being raised from the dead.
You wonder when, I think it's John 2 that says, if we wrote down everything he did, the world couldn't handle all the books. So what do we not know?
Well, first of all, I mean, let's take into consideration everything that he did before he was actually in human form also.
Oh, there was also that.
He was busy before us.
Yes, he was.
Let alone the 3 years.
Yeah, he showed up on the scene many, many times.
He did.
Before he was here.
The protovangel. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, my goodness. So much fun. Okay, well, what we're going to do, listeners, we've sort of got this plan anyways of how we're going to be doing this stuff. We talk about the story, and then we want to talk about a personal story in our own lives that highlights that fruit of love that we have seen. And so let's walk through that together. And this time, let's start with Nicole. Nicole, share a brief story of someone who showed us showed you genuine love or something that relates.
I actually chose someone that I admire that is just such a loving person. So it's my cousin Mary, and I think I've mentioned her before on the podcast, but she's worthy of another mention. She became a believer later in life, and they'd had 2 wonderful children. And then once they found Jesus, or Jesus found them, it just radically changed her heart and her life, and they felt convicted to adopt. And not just any kiddos, but they would adopt children with special needs, kids in different countries that were in countries where the adoption rate was really low or it was hard to get to them. And so they've adopted, I can't remember, it's either 11 or 13 kids over the course of the past 15, 20 years that I've known her.
Wow.
And they've had, some of them have had such special needs or have been in such bad places that they've died. Like, she's lost two of her sweet babies that one she didn't even get to bring home, but they would go visit her and love on her in the orphanage. Aww. And her face would just light up when she'd see them. And their motto, their whole thing they live by now is look what love can do. See what love can do. Mm. So they take these children that have been in horrible situations, and they just love them with God's love. And these kids just thrive and blossom. And it's so beautiful to see that in action, because that is not a light undertaking.
No,
I have four kids
not.
And they're, praise the Lord, they're all healthy and they're difficult. It's hard on a good day with healthy children with no medical issues, but she's dealing with medical issues and behavior issues and all these other things. And they just pour out their heart, and in their little home filled with children in love, I admire her so much. She just kind of embodies that unconditional love from God.
I love that. Yeah. And I'm glad you said that, because I totally spaced that we were supposed to define love. Yeah. At the beginning.
We were. You're throwing me off here already, my very first day.
Yes.
Keep you on your toes.
Because we are a podcast that does not retape, we just go with the flow. Totally out of order. But Jen, let's back up, because Nicole just mentioned that keyword, sacrificial.
Mm.
What is a biblical definition of love?
Well, I mean, if this is the agape love, I didn't really look up what the official definition is. I just started looking at what is not. Like, the fruit of the Spirit is not a wishy-washy love that the world has. It's not an I love you as long as you're doing what I want you to do, but stop the second you're done. You're not doing it anymore.
Yes.
Kind of love.
Yes.
And it isn't warm and fuzzy feelings. It's the kind of love that sticks around even when things get tough. To let others know they're valued even when they're imperfect. And God loved us when we were still sinners, his enemies, and he calls us to love our enemies too. So I think God's love should transform us and see people as God does, to see value in each person he created despite their actions, and to pray for them that they would experience God's transforming love and be changed.
I love that. I love that you went to what it's not, because love can almost be weakened by the way humans behave when they say they love and then don't. So that is beautiful.
It's so hard to try to define, too. There's no real good definition for it.
It is very hard. The best I can cut up was the sacrificial. Yeah. You love even when it hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you have a story, too?
Well, I was thinking about my dad. He wasn't perfect and he wasn't around a lot, but he was a single man raising three kids in the 70s, which was not an easy task. And he must have been exhausted working all week, because he had to commute an hour to Boston every day.
Mm-hmm.
So in commuting traffic, it was probably worse than an hour.
Yes.
But he always made time for us. He took us camping, canoeing, boating. He loved the water, which is probably why I do too. But no matter what I did, he remained mild-tempered and calm, uttering an unkind word. And I provoked him, let me tell you. I was not an easy child, as my brother and sister will attest. But he was never unkind, always calm. And he was just an incredible example to me, and I wish I was more like him.
Oh, that's beautiful. Mm. Well, I was thinking, for me, when I was thinking of agape love, the sacrificial love, Ray and I have both said, we're great at that when one of us is strong and the other one is weak.
Mm-hmm.
The hardest time to show agape to my Ray when he's drowning, but I also am drowning busyness or whatever is then. And the only way, when I'm already tired, but so is Ray, that I can do it, is to ask for that supernatural love. Mm. The one that, like you said, isn't wishy-washy.
Mm-hmm.
Help me sacrifice for this man who I love, even though I wish he was sacrificing for me right now. So, okay, well, beautiful story, a wonderful example of the fact that God loves us even when we don't get our way.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, he died for us, which is pretty sacrificially the best.
Mm-hmm.
So let me close us in prayer. Oh, Father, the stories of Jesus are so rich. Thank you that you cry with us. Thank you that even when your plan makes no sense to us, you let us come and fall at your feet and yell at you a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
God in heaven, your agape love that doesn't fail is so needed, and we are so humbled that you give it to those who turn to you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today, friends. We hope today's episode was a blessing to you. We pray that our lives will bear the fruit of love as we grow to know and love the God who is love. Let us know how it's going. You can email us with prayer requests at sharon@sweetzilla.org. The opportunity to meet some of you in person is closing soon. August 15th is the end of our registration for our Living Waters Conference. Come join us in Portland, Maine on September 26th for a day of encouragement and seeking God. Our own Sharon Gamble will be our main speaker, along with several workshops and times of worship. Go to sweetzilla.org for more information and to sign up. Until next time, don't forget to take the time to just stop, Sila, and be with Jesus.